Joining us now with more about pensions and other news from Olympia is our correspondent, Austin Jenkins. Hi, Austin.
Good afternoon.
You just heard John Brown talking about reforming lawmaker pensions this session, but there are efforts to reform pensions for all state employees. Can you talk about some of the proposals?
Well, first off, these are not new. We have seen proposals before to move away from a pension system into a 401k style plan. Already there's a hybrid system in place for new employees coming in the door. But you know what I think you're seeing on both sides of the aisle is the Republicans and the Democrats in the legislature teeing up some election year red meat. I mean, we know in the wake of this Boeing machinist vote that pensions are going to be a hot topic. It was already predicted that if the, you know, that we would start hearing things like this. If it's good enough for the machinists, why not for public employees? And so I think what you're seeing is sort of a response to that vote, as well as the fact it's an election year, as well as the fact that there are members of this legislature who feel strongly that this is the direction the state should go. Is it going to happen this year? Highly, highly unlikely, especially because we've got split control.
Where does Rodney Tom, the leader of the majority caucus in the Senate, stand on at least the lawmaker pension reform?
Well, he said, I mean, he was at Seattle City Club last week, and number three on his list of top three priorities was changes to the pension system. He's in support of this. He thinks that it's hard to make the case that if people in the private sector don't have pensions, that people in the public sector should. And you're also starting to hear, I think it was articulated in the Seattle Times this morning, that if the lawmakers have to go out to the public and make the case for more money for K-12 education, and yet they're spending the first dollars out of the revenue that's coming in to pay off pension obligations, that can get difficult when you're trying to make the case to the public, perhaps to close some tax exemptions or raise taxes on themselves.
I'm talking with Austin Jenkins, and once again, state lawmakers are back in Olympia for what is supposed to be a 60-day legislative session. It starts today. Last week, the state Supreme Court sent them a letter. The judges say Washington's politicians need to move faster to fully fund basic education, decision called the McCleary decision that requires them to do so. But apparently lawmakers are not talking about money for education. They say their focus is going to be transportation. Let's take a step back and talk about that McCleary decision. What did the court rule specifically?
Well, the court said that the state is not amply funding K through 12 basic education in violation of the state constitution, and the court held on to jurisdiction over the case. So this is the second, if you will, update or order from the Supreme Court. And this time, what the court is saying is that, as you said, the pace of funding, despite the down payment made last year by the legislature, is not on track to get to full funding by the 2018 school year. And so now the Supreme Court has set an April this year deadline for the legislature and governor to come up with a plan to fully fund education by 2018.
And I've seen figures as high as $5 billion of shortfall. Is that?
That's a good number. That's a good number.
All right, so how much money are lawmakers talking about spending on education this year?
Not much. I mean, this is a supplemental budget year. They made their down payment last year. While we don't have a shortfall at this point, it's not like the money is flowing back in spades. And so the talk now is more about some things around the edges. I mean, the governor has proposed a supplemental budget that would put some more money into college-bound scholarships, into science technology education for underrepresented kids, maybe some more access to preschool. But in terms of basic education funding, that discussion at this point looks like it's really going to be for next year.
But how can lawmakers just blatantly ignore what the state Supreme Court has ordered them to do?
And what's interesting, they would say, first off, they're not ignoring the part about the funding. They just may not be doing it at the pace that the court wants. In terms of this April deadline, I have no indication at this point from the governor or anybody else that they plan to meet that April deadline for having a plan in place. And I guess when you ask them, they say, well, not, in so many words, this, you know, separation of powers. The legislature is not necessarily inclined to jump to action when the court says so. Now, and what's the court going to do? Throw them in jail? I mean, we haven't gotten to that point yet. That's been suggested. But until that's happening, I think that the legislature and the governor may feel a little bit of this is, you know, we'll do it on our timeline.
It did run through my head, the idea of all those hundreds of people going to prison. Austin,
right,
Jenkins,
or the leadership, right?
Or the leadership. Austin Jenkins is our Olympia correspondent. So, Austin, the only big money that lawmakers are talking about is whether or not to raise a gas tax by as much as 11.5 cents a gallon?
Yeah, I mean, that's topic number one, but you know, it's looking doubtful. As each day of this new session goes by, it looks more and more doubtful because it's a tough vote to take in an election year, and there are still some really big sticking points or roadblocks to compromise.
I have to laugh about roadblocks.
I'm trying to use appropriate terms here.
What are the sticking points?
Well, we heard last week that the two main sticking points, at least in the eyes of one of those close to the negotiations, is this: the amount of money that would go into transit. How much should this be a roads building package, and how much should this be about funding transit? And secondly, should the sales tax charged on transportation projects go back into transportation or go into the general fund as it does now? Those are two really big sticking points, and the reality is they haven't been able to, use another appropriate term, bridge those two differences. And the reality, I think if they're going to get a deal, some of these reform issues that the majority coalition caucus in the Senate is pushing, and perhaps on the transit funding side for the they're going to either have to put them, you know, set them aside to move forward, or they're really going to have to buckle down and find that middle of the road compromise, which after a dozen negotiating sessions last fall, they were unable to do.
This was Governor Inslee's, one of his top priorities last session, and I assume he returns with this same priority.
Yeah, and speaking still very, you know, optimistically about the idea that this could still get done. He also, though, you know, we asked him about his Apple Cup deadline for this,
right,
which was last fall. Now he's saying, well, that's Apple Cup, you know, now 2014. So maybe he's giving himself till this fall as well. But he said last week he wants it in this 60-day session, and they're not, you know, he's not giving up yet. But already the Democrats are saying, okay, fine. If it's going to happen, the Senate needs to move a package out, and then the two chambers can negotiate a deal. Senator Tom last week said, no, we need to get back in the negotiating room behind closed doors to hammer out a deal. So you're already seeing a disagreement about how to go forward, how to proceed from here.
Here in Seattle, big concern is who's going to pay cost overruns as Bertha, the tunnel boring drill, remains stuck on, putatively, something that the State Department of Transportation stuck in the ground in the first place. Briefly, who do you think is going to be stuck with the bill?
Well, you know, first off, that presumes that they will use up the contingency fund. We know from the Department of Transportation that they actually have a specific fund within the contingency fund for running into things like this.
No.
But if they go over, there is a point of view. Senator Schessler is the Republican leader in the state Senate. He articulated this last week that Seattle is on the hook to pay for the cost overruns because of some language in the legislation authorizing this tunnel. Democrats push back and say, hold on a second. And they actually have sent me this letter from the former Attorney General Rob McKenna to then Governor Gregoire saying, no, in fact, that's not really enforceable unless the legislature goes back and passes some enforcing, enacting language to make that happen.
Well, you'll hear from former legislator Ed Murray, now mayor of Seattle, in the next hour on that subject. Austin Jenkins is our Olympia correspondent. And Austin, I understand you're playing DJ now. Former Senate Majority Leader Lisa Brown has suggested a song of the legislative session. What is
it? Well, this used to be the sort of tradition. My predecessor, Tom Bonsi, started this. Every year we sort of had a session theme song, and we'd allow Democrats and Republicans to suggest, and they'd sometimes end up in our day one story. But Lisa Brown left. She's a real pop culture and music maven, and with her sort of the tradition went as well. But she engaged me on Twitter over the weekend, and she's proposing a Bruce Springsteen song, Tunnel of Love. And I should, in 140 characters or less, explain why Tunnel of Love. And
real
she
briefly.
Said, A transportation package would be the light at the end of the session and the Seattle Tunnel of Love, or hate it, exclamation point.
Well,
so in due respect to Lisa Brown, here we go.
Here we go. Thanks, Austin. Talk to you next week.
Thank you.